this episode of the Cooligans, all we talk about so much, obviously we got to talk about Liverpool versus Manchester City. The Manchester City slide continues. Pep Guardiola's face is all scratched up. Christian seems to believe everything he hears, that he did it to himself. I got some conspiracy theories.
We also talk some MLS Cup final coming up. We'll react to all the playoff matches. Ricky Pooj's ACL. How did he do it? Why did it happen? Is there no God? We will figure it all out today on the Cooligans.
Okay, so obviously it was Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you enjoy.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. It was obviously Thanksgiving. My nephew, he's now 13, you know what I mean? Just started high school. He's starting to dress differently. He's starting to do his hair differently. He's getting his own vibe, his own style.
Right.
But at this age also starts the pushing envelopes, you know what I mean? Trying to separate yourself a little bit from the pack of the family.
Got it. Find where the boundaries are.
Yeah, and then go past them and see what kind of, you know, damage it causes. He said this. He said he wants to go to college, but he wants a gap year. Okay.
It's a lovely company if you want to work there. Right. Yeah, I don't know.
They might be upset that you only want to be there a year. But he said he wants to do a
gap. By the way, sponsor?
By the way, what a dad joke. You've been a dad for less than 2 years.
Okay, this is what the Cooligans are about. He's having fun.
Good God.
Having good, safe fun.
Yeah. Did everyone buckle your seatbelts, folks? You're not going to need it.
Okay, this ride will not be bumpy.
No, buddy, you're on the teacups, and we're going slow. The reason I bring that up is, could you imagine telling your family, remember, this is a house full of immigrants. Mm-hmm. He said this in, imagine how my mother and my aunt reacted when this young man said, maybe I'll go to college, but I need a year to myself. Ugh. And then my sister was like, oh, are you going to go work or something? Are you going to go learn a trade or go work with someone? Like, if you want to be a movie producer, are you going to go intern at a studio or something? He said, no, just a year to relax. Now, you said that to a woman who went through a hard labor camp, my mother, in Cuba to get out. And I looked at him and I'm like, bro, I got your back, but you alone on this one, dog.
Nah, bro. I mean, like, Carter also coming from an Indian family. I mean,
could you imagine, Carter?
Would have been disowned on the spot.
Yeah.
You can't even.
I know the dishonor you've put on your family working in media.
Working just.
Right?
Right.
Say it. Don't just nod. They can't hear.
He's right. 100%.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right.
Your parents are like, at 13, I was in medical school my third year.
I said doctor, lawyer, engineer. When did he hear producer? I didn't even say those syllables.
Wild. Yeah, dude. Bold, brave of him to say that. He learned where the line was.
I think
he
learned pretty quickly. Like, they don't seem to be taking too well to this whole gap year idea.
Gap years ain't all that. Now that I hear your side,
you
mom.
You know what? His friends, because he goes to a big public school. I'm sure you got people from all ranges.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe the kids he's hanging out with have gap year families.
Damn, bro.
You found out you ain't in a gap year family.
Are you suggesting that the whites are influencing him?
That's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is you need to pay more attention to how Trevor's speaking and a little less to how Devin is speaking. You know what I mean?
Also, like, you got to have gap year money, too.
It is a privilege.
I think that's where we found that was a surprise to him is that he assumed the way his life is now would continue into that gap year. And I don't think you know our family.
The funding stops at a certain point.
Wait till someone hands you an eviction notice, fam.
Oh, why is this paper pink?
Yeah, I had to go to the store and buy that.
Fascinating. Well, okay. Speaking of your nephew, I can also mention I have a new niece who was born the day before Thanksgiving.
Look at that.
So we are very thankful for little London. So shout out to my brother and his wife. Mm. And I got to see the baby for a little. My son was born.
You're more comfortable holding babies now? I've never been comfortable holding a baby.
I'm very comfortable.
Especially fresh out?
Fresh out.
Not fresh out?
Right out the wrapper.
Nah, son. I'd be like, you need to let that cool and reheat before I touch that. It's too close to your family.
But the mother and baby are doing well. But when I was holding her, it was just like this reminder of how small my son used to be. I mean, he's a year and a half now, but I'm like, was he? This is how, and this is just a reminder of like, or just letting people know, like, how babies are small for such a short amount of time that you quickly forget how that they were even that little and needed you to that degree. Like the amount of time, you know how they say like, oh, they grow up so fast and blah blah blah, but it's not exactly that. They do grow up fast, but it's the, you don't even get to remember.
Right.
When they were that small.
Because it passes so quickly.
It passes so quickly that your brain is so busy changing diapers and the baby's crying and you're not sleeping and blah, blah, blah. That it's, you know, when they say like, hey, appreciate these moments, man, or whatever. Yeah. I'm just hitting the siren. You're not even going to remember.
Take a lot of pictures.
Take pictures.
Hold up $1 next to this baby.
Hold up today's newspaper. Because it happens so quickly. So, shout out
to your family. Growing even bigger.
It's a beautiful thing.
Mine, right. So we're getting smaller. I'm losing a nephew. That kid's going to get kicked out of the house in 3 years.
welcome to the show, everybody. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We're here, as always. Ways on Yahoo Sports. Okay, Yahoo loves it when as soon as they sent us over that MP3, they're like, hey, I know this is gonna be put to good use.
Yeah, you guys aren't gonna like hit it a bunch of times, are you?
But we're excited to be back after the holiday break, and a lot to go over because obviously in Europe.
Bro, the soccer don't stop, bro.
Footy does not stop for nobody. A lot of Premier League talk because there were, some crazy results that are still shaking up the table. And we're going to talk about Major League Soccer and everything going on with the playoffs. ACLs, it's all
damn.
Okay. We're going to talk about all of it. All right. We have to start today with the matchup between Liverpool and Manchester City. Cause again, everybody, so this felt a little bit like, maybe one of these teams will be winning the title, or at least with Manchester City, can they get out of this rut? Cause you just feel like each game that you watch in the last few weeks, you're like, it's Man City. They're going to get out of this rut. They're going to get out of this downward spiral.
Right.
Liverpool's like, no. Yeah, the spiral's still spiraling.
Yeah, maybe you will, but not this week. I guess the real question is, are Manchester City out of the race for the Premier League title?
I'm going to say no.
It feels way too early to say it, even though no team with this many points at this stage has ever lost the Premier League.
Yes. There's something, it's just mathematically they are out, I'm not going to just say that they are because they...
It's like a horror film, like, you sure he dead? Because if I go in this other room and he's in there...
It's just something with the... it's hard to just doubt it because the team is so good and you figure that as when some of the players that are injured come back, they'll figure something out. But we've been talking about it the last few weeks in the Champions League, and we'll talk about the Champions League matchup as well during the week. But they look bad. They don't look like Manchester City.
They look like they can't figure it out. I mean, there was a moment, I think it was in the 60-something minute, where they're defending. They're obviously in their own half defending. And Bernardo Silva is centrally, no one around him. The ball gets dispossessed by Liverpool and it falls to him and he just boots that thing. He's like, get it the hell out of here. Right. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen a Manchester City team do that, right? They usually like know what to do next when they regain possession. Their game plan is to regain possession, usually higher up the pitch, but they still got it. And it wasn't like it was in their own box or anything where it was a dangerous moment. And I think what you're looking at is like a team that just doesn't have all the pieces it used to have. So you can't, you kind of got to be like, you figure it out. Like, yo, Rico Lewis, that's a right back, dog.
Yeah.
What's he doing as a right winger?
Well, no, but he's looked pretty good wherever they put him. And that's why Pep likes him, because he can play multiple positions. But
But that's probably not where you prefer to have him.
Right. But this decision to is Gundogan and
old
and Rico Lewis. As like with this,
the, yeah, but he would go. I mean, what you're looking at here, if you're watching, so you see him be as almost the second in a double pivot. That's not where he was. Akanji would go up,
right?
Right. A Rico Lewis would find himself where Bernardo Silva is now. But you're Phil Foden. What happened to him? Player of the year last year. What happened to him? He can't get one shot on goal. The whole squad.
Yeah.
One, and it was right back. It was Rico Lewis. It was not even on target.
They're making the types of mistakes where they look like not even just mistakes, but they're playing with such caution. They look like Sheffield United last year, struggling to stay up. You know what I mean? Like they can't
look that bad. But I see what you're saying. Like they can't put it together.
But it just makes no sense. It's just like even with these players, yes, they feel like losing Rodri is like that one Jenga piece that held it all together.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like falling apart. Where
well, people were saying he's not Ballon d'Or. Right, look what happened. Look what happened when he's gone, man. That's Ballon d'Or level.
Yeah, I think that's there's no better argument.
Yeah.
This is a, even the decision to not start Ederson and to start Stefan Ortega, I think
you know my theory.
What's your
why
theory?
Ederson didn't start because he's the one who scratched up. Okay, that's my theory. You think
he physically had a fist fight with Pep,
or I think he just got him in a headlock, bro. Why is his lid busted up? No one's asked him about that.
Yeah,
anyway, but Stefan Ortega is also a very good goalkeeper, and in moments he's so good. Remember, Stefan, this is another thing I wanted to bring up. Remember, Pep Guardiola's whole thing is like the moment you want out, you out. That means you're not loyal.
Sure.
Right? You're not loyal to the plan,
mm-hmm.
bro. Apparently. Ederson wanted to go to Saudi this summer.
Oh, yeah, that was
and they told him,
reported.
Like, no, you can't. We got to keep you. Since when are they begging people to stay?
Okay, yeah, maybe they didn't feel, bring back Zach Steffen. Maybe that was
the... Damn, bro, have some balls, dude. But clearly there's something wrong with, like, every part of the plan that we're used to seeing with Manchester City isn't working, isn't coming together. Why is Kevin De Bruyne on the bench, especially when you go an entire first half? I don't know why you don't want to start him, whatever that case may be. Make that decision earlier. When he came in the 70-something minute, bro, if you see Erling Haaland barely getting any touches in that first half, and you see that no one's central, no one's making that pass, Phil Foden clearly not up to par.
Yeah.
If that's happening, you got to bring in Kevin De Bruyne. At the very least, he can get more passes into the box to the foot of Erling Haaland. And then maybe you find some magic. And I know Erling Haaland hasn't been on point, but bro, like why are we the ones suggesting that?
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola is supposed to be the best manager in the world.
Yeah. You would think that, again, given this group of players, that this should be enough to be competitive. And they're scoring. It's not like they're not scoring goals in certain games.
They didn't
in this one, but
they had two shots on target.
Yeah. It's a shock that, And credit to Liverpool, and just credit to the other teams that are playing them during this poor run of form for Manchester City. They're kind of finding ways to limit what Erling Haaland does, the spectacular stuff, the crazy goals. So credit to them, because I thought Virgil van Dijk handled Erling Haaland very, very well. Mm-hmm. He didn't have much space to pretty much do anything. But it's just simply these defensive issues. And in the midfield, the turnovers, what? This, even just Man City turning over the ball. It's just like, what?
Square passes. They don't really have a midfielder. Ilkay Gundogan, look at old now. I don't know what happened.
It's not
bro,
great.
Bro, Rodri's not there, so you got Bernardo Silva sitting back trying to do kind of a co-job with him,
mm-hmm.
trying to do what one Rodri could do. There's no one to pass to. Phil Foden was getting lost in between the lines. This was a complete taken apart by Liverpool. We haven't even talked about Liverpool, and they were so good.
And then also Kyle Walker is another one that you have to ask some questions about. Yeah. Yes, you see.
But was that first goal? Was it Gravenberg? Who scored?
Gakpo.
Gakpo.
Yeah.
He just completely forgets about it.
But you can see Kyle Walker. He's like, he took a pick off the shoulder.
No, there he is.
He's there. He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And guess
he's like, you're gonna have to wake up pretty early a little bit. Well, why is he in front of me?
And he does I always look to defenders and how much accountability they take when they do give up a goal like that. Someone gets past them, and his first instinct is to look at the assistant referee and be like, hey, offside, offside.
Right, you're offside?
Hey, offside. First instinct. As soon as he sees a guy put around by him, he's like, and it goes in, hand up. And it's just like, bro, you didn't maybe think first that that could have been on you.
Yeah, yeah.
It could have been a great run.
So you don't have to defend.
So and this just mentality stuff that you're not used to seeing with Manchester City is, I think, it's popping up. And the injuries are not helping because there aren't those veteran leadership to kind of hold people accountable. You know, bringing back Ilkay Gundogan, you sort of expect that to make the other players more accountable. But even, again, the defending, you know, Akanji, there were just moments of just like, yep, you're just jogging a little too much.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not. And you, there was an it was Kyle Walker and Ruben Diaz kind of having a really intense conversation after the first goal was scored, that it's just like, all right, well, something's wrong. The ship is I'm not going to say it's sinking, but there seems to be holes in it. And right. And people are
taking on water.
Yeah, people are trying to pluck them, but they're not getting it right.
I think the only chance Manchester City has of still winning the title this year is a complete collapse by Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because what are they, 11 points out?
Mm-hmm.
I get it's too early, but I don't see Liverpool completely collapsing. I see them slipping. I can see Arsenal or Chelsea potentially catching them. I could potentially see that.
Yeah.
Not by much. Liverpool looks like they're gonna win this thing. But like I said, you know, no one would have guessed 7 matches ago that Manchester City would go on this winless streak, 6 losses in 7, that they'd give up 3 goals in the second half to Feyenoord. No one would have suggested that. So anything can happen. And this game has a way of being like, oh, you thought you knew everything about it? Well, how about this? You know,
yeah.
So I'd be completely shocked if it doesn't end up with Liverpool not winning. But I don't think if Liverpool lose, that Manchester City is the one standing on top.
Sure. And just to continue with a little bit of the stuff with Man City, because I loved all the post-match comments were pretty funny. We saw the Pep holding up the 6 fingers up for, you know, for the 6...
showing Liverpool how many matches he's lost. Right, in the last 7.
For the titles that he's won. But he mentioned after the game, he was like, I was surprised because they were singing he sacked in the morning,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. He goes, oh, they didn't sing as nil-nil or 0-1.
Right. So yeah. He said he was surprised that the Liverpool fans did that, which I don't know. Why are Liverpool fans above being petty and silly like that?
Were they supposed to chant everything's going to be all right now?
But I wonder what you think about this approach to how the press is asking questions to Manchester City. This was Ruben Diaz after the game.
How do you as players internal take responsibility? How do you talk to each other? Do you do meetings? How do you do that?
You know that you're talking to one of the players of one of the teams in the world that has won the most in the recent years. So maybe you have a think about that and be sure that we know how to deal with it.
Okay, it's a weird...
What a weird way to answer that question.
It's a strange way of just by, you know, who you, be like, you know who I am?
Yeah.
You know who you're talking to?
How dare you ask me a question, a reasonable question. Don't you know who I am?
He's not coming at you with disrespect. Right. He's just simply saying like, and he goes on to be...
You know what that reminds me of? Like, you ever go to your friend's house growing up and their mom said something to them and they were just mad disrespectful to your mom?
You're right.
Do I gotta be here while you get beat? You know what I mean? That awkwardness.
This is like not really necessary. This is not really the best approach, I think, from the players. He clarifies a little bit.
That's why I ask you, because I've seen Manchester City win so many games, so it's quite rare that you don't win. And I just try to understand the processes going then through your mind and the club.
Easy. Next game. One game.
One game at a time. Blah blah blah. So maybe start with that. What is the like, how dare you ask me?
Do you know who you're speaking to? That is the, do you know who my dad is?
Yeah, what is this arrogance about? Like, you have won lots of titles. We understand that. Nobody is necessarily saying, like, those don't count or those were lucky.
But you in the mud now.
You in the mud right now.
So talk to me how you get out this out the trenches, bro.
I know you ain't used to this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's happening to you. So it's like, we're allowed to ask, like, hey, what's up
with this? This is why you and I will never be able to do Flash Zone interviews. Because if someone said that to us, be like, yeah, you used to win, dog. But now you stink. How you fix that? Answer the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll wait, you know? Yeah. Ridiculous.
Actually, I'm talking to a player who's in the middle of a 7-game losing streak out of 8. Or whatever, it is, 6 out of 8.
Ruben, what 7. Have you done for me lately?
Damn.
Because this is not good enough. Dude, yeah, and then and just to mention, Liverpool were fantastic, and I can you know, as even as an Everton fan, it is hard to say this, but they are looking like the best team in the world right now.
I mean, they have to be with Barcelona like basically being bad in the last three matches.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is it.
They look, you know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but they look like they're having fun playing. They almost
everyone except Mohamed Salah, bro. No, at the end of every game, he's like, "Yeah, it would be cool to be here next year."
He's just like, "I'm in my bank account not looking great right now." They mean with maybe you know
I ain't gonna have a job at the end of this season, but yeah, whatever y'all want to talk about.
I mean, I'll be standing in the unemployment line if that's where you want me. No, they look like they have a good time, and more than anything, the regardless of who is on the pitch, it is. Not only, and this is what, you know, it's not even just like, we're used to Manchester City having this like plug and play sort of system. Any player come in and like then Rico Lewis and it's just like, last year, Oscar Bobby.
They're making these names up, bro.
All these guys can thrive in this system, but it's feeling now with Liverpool, and even better than it was under Jurgen Klopp, under Slot system. Whoever comes in, whether it's Darwin Nunez, this is how you know Liverpool are good, because their fans aren't even that mad at Darwin Nunez, because he's getting chances, bro, after like, chance.
Take another wild shot, man. I gotta have fun out there,
have
bro.
Have a good time. We're 11 points up, Darwin.
Bro, Spanish Virgil Van Dijk.
I mean, it's Uruguayan, but I get it.
They would say that.
Yeah. Got it. So, but that is the, I think, just the epitome of just like where they are right now. And they're just having like a good time. And even with the contract stuff with Mohamed Salah, and that doesn't affect him at all. He missed a penalty or whatever in Champions League, I think, or whatever. Yeah. And still, they're still having a great time. So, so credit to them, man. This is wild.
No trophies get handed out this time of year, so everybody relax.
Correct. And we should just mention very quickly, okay, I didn't show the image, but Pep Guardiola, very, very quick, he did... after the game against Feyenoord, you know, they gave up a 3-goal lead, which was Santi Jimenez scoring. So that I know a lot of Mexican and Etri fans were happy about that. But Pep's face, we're looking at it now. He has scratches on his bald head.
Yeah.
He has a scratch on his nose.
Notice the scratches stop right here.
Right above, like, you know, so the top of the head or whatever, like he's
so where you would have to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to believe that he scratched his own face.
Okay, so this is the conspiracy. Alexis believes that Pep Guardiola got into a fight in the locker room.
He was
and came out.
This is headlock. Look at where does that head go in a headlock? First of all, zoom in on that man's mouth.
Okay,
that is a busted lip. That is a busted lip.
There's something. I would say he could have bitten his lip. I don't know. Maybe he saw a baddie walking by and had that.
He got him one of these. Okay. You know what he saw? He saw a tactics board. Damn. Is that a 2-3-5?
So, I think this is someone who, I mean, and he said it after the...
Bro, look at the lines, bro. They're going this way. This is a curve. Look, he has like a smiley face line. You don't do that yourself. You, if you're scratching your own face, you don't go like that. Yeah. This is not scratching your own face. Look at the lip, bro. My kid got a shiner, bro. He took a bop on the face. I'm done with this. This is BS. Are we buying this? That he scratched his own face? Are you just buying anything a player says? You've met these people.
This is so. This is how he ended the press conference.
I hurt myself. Yeah. I want to hurt myself. Yeah.
The giggle.
Dude, I mean this in the most respectful way. I think he is the greatest manager of all time.
Sure.
He's a weird dude, bro.
I mean, you can't not be a weird dude and be the greatest manager of all time.
And I don't mean like weird, like get him out of here. I don't know how weird. Weirdo is sometimes used differently, like in the UK and other places. Mm-hmm. Weird being like, he's an eccentric fella.
He's a little interesting. Yeah.
This guy, he walks to the beat of his own drum. You know what I mean?
But the guy asks him about, hey, like, yo, your face is pretty banged up, buddy. You all right?
Yeah.
And this is he sort of scoffs at like, what?
But he does this all the time. He like laughs off.
Yeah, but it's just like for this to be the closer and end a press conference like this, giggling and saying I want to harm myself.
Well, he had to apologize.
He did have to apologize, and it's not even about. I'm not necessarily offended. I get the context of it, and he was trying to be silly, but it's just a joke that like does not work.
Yeah,
not even about it being offensive. It's just like, yo, Pep. What you intended to happen was just like to be a little silly, make us laugh.
I just think he's.
I'm worried about you when you say.
I don't know if he's trying to be silly and make us laugh. I think he's just trying to use so much sarcasm that it makes you feel stupid for asking about it.
That was not the outcome.
And that's why he laughed. Like, like, yeah, you thought you were going to get a good answer from me? He's not going to say, yeah, me and Edison went fist to cuffs.
Which I don't think.
This man was in a headlock, bro. I don't care. Look at this.
Look at the grin.
Look at the scratches on the top of his head.
He said he scratched himself.
Come on, Christian, what happened to you?
I can't think that he got into a fight with somebody and we are not going to hear about it.
What are you doing after this? Are you going to a Primerica meeting after this?
Nobody's.
You just believing everything everyone told
you? You don't think they're going to leak
that? You're going to start selling tummy tea?
They're going to leak that information. There's no way that happened.
Bro, anyway. He got beat up.
We also Chelsea Aston Villa. We have to talk about Chelsea and their run of form in the Premier League. I think it's very surprising.
They literally have the exact same record as Arsenal. Like same wins, same losses, same draws, same goal differential. It's pretty crazy.
A lot of people did not think that Chelsea would be in second, let alone top four.
Is there someone here between the two of us that you could think of that was talking up the Enzo Maresca hire and saying about how it was a smart hire?
Carter, was that you?
Yeah, no, it was me. I said the two of us. I was talking about all of this, especially at the beginning of the season when he said, "Yo, I don't care about the 40-something players. I have my 23." I said, "Oh, he onto something."
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, I never thought it would is a bad hire. It's just like anybody who walks into the Chelsea situation is going to have a lot of work to do. And but I am surprised that he has it figured out this quickly, given. The range of players.
He's got 40 players to choose from.
What a gift.
Bro, Nico Jackson balling out of control. Everyone needs to put respect on his name. Remember when someone said the stat leaked and it became viral that he had more goals at that point in his career than Drogba had for Chelsea at that point in his career. Yeah. And people were like, dude, he's nothing like Drogba. I'm not saying he's Drogba, but the kid's balling. He's a really good. Noni Madueke having an incredible season. Carson Palmer.
Cole Palmer.
Palmer's a quarterback
for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cole Palmer having an incredible season as well. Probably not, to the heights of last season, but he's not the only one balling. He doesn't need to do that. Right. He can ping assists. He doesn't have to score every single game in and game out. He's still wildly influential, still one of the best young players in the league. This squad has proven that the issues of before are gone. Enzo Maresca has been able to completely silo this squad from all of the drama. Todd Boehly was right, yo.
There it is. You never thought.
Todd Boehly was right, dude.
The entire time. He saw the vision.
Bro, he had the vision. Y'all didn't know this was coming. Todd Boehly, Daddy Boehly, bro.
This is why American owners should own every Premier League club.
Facts, bro. In fact, we might now that the state oil states is out of there.
There's a lot going on,
bro.
Buddy.
There's a lot going on. It's about to be every state.
So look, Chelsea playing that well. I also pretty surprised Aston Villa.
The trend continues down.
Being able to score and
Ollie Watkins looks lost in front of goal, dude.
I don't know. It's just usually I think Aston Villa not the strongest squad in the world, but. You figure with Emi Martinez, like, oh, he'll stop what he needs to stop and keep them in games. And he ended up, I don't know what the exact injury was, but he left at halftime. Mm-hmm. Robin Olsen came into the game for the second half, but he gave up two goals. Mm-hmm. That he really couldn't necessarily, maybe the first one, I think he could have done something on it. The one Enzo Fernandez scores the outside of the boot one. Yep. There was not much he could do there. But overall, just the the high that we had on Aston Villa seems to be kind of dissipating a little bit. We'll see if they can turn things around. But I think
Chelsea
the story here
quietly got themselves into a Champions
League
position.
Chelsea are good. I mean, like, and
but also no one's talking about them. Everyone's focused on City collapsing and Liverpool being great and Arsenal kind of finding their form again. And Chelsea, like, good. Don't even talk about us.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't need it yet.
They look pretty confident.
Luis Caicedo looks good, bro.
Yeah, he looks great. Yeah. And the goal from Cole Palmer. Was spectacular.
Beautiful, yeah.
So
I think that was the number one golazo. I did them today. I should know that.
All right. The other game that we have to... Oh, the other stuff we have to talk about just Americans thriving in Europe, whether that's in Champions League or in their respective leagues. Christian Pulisic had another good week. Malik Tillman at PSV during Champions League was great. And Ricardo Pepi with the game winner.
Right.
In Champions League as well.
When I look at Pulisic, I think becoming a leader on the team, right? I think he's the best. He's the most informed player that Milan have had all season.
Mm-hmm.
Best player, I'd probably still pick maybe Reinders or Leao, one of those two.
Okay.
To be the best player on the team. Because what is the ceiling? I don't know that we've seen Christian Pulisic's ceiling just yet. Right. And by the way, if this is Christian Pulisic season, he's going to be a great player in Europe for a long time. He's going to have a great career.
My only concern right now is I don't, even though he is seemed to be doing fine, but I don't love that he's playing different positions. It's like,
all right, let's unpack that in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as whether he's the leader on the team or the best player on the team, there are stretches in the Serie A season so far where Christian Pulisic was the reason they were winning. And Christian Pulisic was by far their best player. Mm-hmm. And probably the player that, you know, Fonseca leaned on the most, right? Maybe not how we planned it, but certainly who we needed. I think as the team starts to click and get better, Pulisic may not end up being your best player, your most trusted player. But certainly he's wildly in form right now. So much so that we have to ask, has he warranted a move to a bigger club? Or is that asking too much and he should stay there? And part of that conversation is what you're bringing up, the fact that he has moved around. But I have a counterpoint to that. He's looked good.
He has. And that's kind of the...
No matter where you put him.
Surprise that whether he's on... he's usually playing at the 10 or he's playing outright. He, for the U.S., he's usually on the left.
Right. I assume he prefers the right wing just... His dances and
I mean, he won't confirm, so we can't confirm.
It's just
either.
Funny. It's just funny.
But the I think in general, the at the very least, he is upping that price, right? So now AC Milan has a decision to make of like, do we start thinking about?
But if you are his agent or his manager, do you try to make that move? Right? Let's say in the summer. We know Milan need money. They seem to like having the marketing capability in the U.S. that they have, right? You see Zlatan going everywhere with them. They seem to like that. But if they get a $30, $40 million offer for him, do you move on that knowing you need money? Or for him, do you think right now staying there would be the best move? Because he is playing so well. Milan aren't necessarily having the best season in Serie A.
Yeah.
If he could get them into a Scudetto season... Or maybe, you know, a little bit higher up the ranks in Champions League, be one of the top teams in Champions League outside of where they are in the standings right now, because we know sort of things aren't fully fleshed out. Do you think, which move would you prefer for Christian Pulisic? So, make that jump to a bigger club or stay where you are and keep building on that?
Yeah, so, I mean, well, now we're having the conversation. Is AC Milan a big club? Right, like is it, because historically it kind of is.
Yeah, second most Champions League behind Real Madrid.
Yeah, so I would say for him personally as a player, this is probably the best situation. And staying there at a club that you are appreciated, you are important. You know you're going to be starting. You know that he's, whether it's just the physio staff, the medical staff, they're keeping him healthy. Like,
yeah,
that's already, I mean, that was just not the case at Chelsea. It was just every couple, 4 to 6 weeks, there was always some sort of injury and he just couldn't find. And I think that's really what held him back from thriving in the Premier League. But yeah, it feels like staying is the best move because it's beneficial for him. You know, I'm sure he's making enough money. I think he's fine there. And then, you know, just staying healthy, playing for the U.S., playing in that World Cup. These are clearly the most important things. So, he could arguably play at a quote unquote bigger club, but what will really be the benefits, like, outside of just being like, yeah, now I play for Liverpool or United, or something.
Well, this is going to upset some of the fans, but of the names of the people that were the clubs that were looking at him, one of them that sprang up recently is West Ham. Why would you make that move?
No, that would that's just, I mean, all respect to our hammer homies out there.
Shouts to Jamie, our old editor, who loves West Ham. And shouts to Chris Italia, the homie. but that is not even a lateral move. That is essentially a step down in the grand scheme of things.
100%.
Milan is at the top when you look at major clubs. They may not be at that place right now, right? But as they build, Christian Pulisic seems like he would be a cornerstone of that build, that rebuild. Why would you leave there to go to West Ham? Now, if a Liverpool came calling, if a Bayern Munich came calling, I doubt Real Madrid would want him, or a Barcelona, but imagine a team of that ilk came calling. You might want to think about making that move, no?
You would think about it. Like
Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich says, all right, we'll give you 40 mil. You making that move? If you're Christian Pulisic, they say, we'll double your salary.
To Bayern?
A year before the World Cup is in your country.
No, I would make it after the World Cup, but not before. Mainly because I know what I'm going to be getting at Milan. I know that I'm going to be playing. I know that the fans adore me.
Yeah, you're comfortable. You're happy.
My form is incredible.
You're speaking the language, even though he already knows German, but nobody wants to remember that,
right?
I think you're right. I think now is the time you stay. You keep building on this. It's just going to be positive reactions.
This was from Opta. They had tweeted out that 20 and 15. That's Christian Pulisic, 23 goals, 15 assists, is the only Serie A player to record at least 20 goals and 15 assists in all competitions since the start of the 23-24 season. I love it ends with a glow.
They always do that. OptiJack always has like a one-word final. It's so funny.
Hit you a little bit of poetry.
Yeah. It's usually I'm like, that's a British guy writing this. Ain't no American ever said a glow, you know?
No, this is a player that, you know, it's not just a... He seems happy to be where he is. He's posting pics with his golfer girlfriend.
Right.
He looks happy.
He's trying to make Milan great again. You know what I mean?
We all, aren't we all?
Don't put that on me.
So incredible stuff.
Shouts to Matteo Bonetti who said that first, by the way. That wasn't an Alexis line.
Sure. Look, he's thriving there and obviously only benefits the U.S. men's national team as well. So we love to see it. All right. We got to talk about Major League Soccer and the playoffs.
MLS Cup Final is set. MLS Cup Final is
coming up this weekend. A lot of news there. So we'll talk all about it right after this. Major League Soccer, everybody.
It's MLSing right now.
It's
heavy.
MLSing too hard. You went full MLS. Bro. You never go full MLS.
The script writers really turned it up towards the end of the season.
So, MLS Cup Final. We know it's going to be LA Galaxy and Red Bulls this weekend. Before, let's talk about how we got there. Mm-hmm. Because the two conference finals, Orlando against New York Red Bulls and LA Galaxy against Seattle. It's the first one, Orlando against Red Bulls. Both games, 1-0 thrillers.
Yeah.
But
I only caught the second half of the Orlando-New York Red Bulls game.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I'm like, bro, Orlando's like trying their hardest to get shots off on Red Bulls. And they're just like passing around the goal. You know what I mean? They're shooting around the goal.
The Red Bulls making it to the MLS Cup Final is already difficult personally.
Yeah.
For a lot of NYCFC fans. But the way they got there, you got to just give credit where credit is due. They did not have the greatest of seasons. Injuries to Emil Forsberg.
Even their fans would tell you they stunk at the end of the season, regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to catch heat in the playoffs.
But it's not, I wouldn't even argue that it's a heat exactly. It is.
I mean, they've. Well,
no, they're winning. It's not heat. I'm just saying that they are tactically frustrating teams. They did it to Columbus. They did it to NYCFC. They did it clearly to Orlando. They are, I would say, even watching this game against Orlando, it was like there was no real interest or intention to try to get another goal here. They were trying to like on counters.
And there were moments where they would spring and attack, but it was like two people. Yeah, all right, the rest of us go stay back
it
here.
It was Forsberg being like, I'm going to run at 60% pace to try to maybe create something if something comes up.
Yeah.
But this is a look, I think for a lot of fans that look, I think a lot of fans in general of the other 29 or 28, whatever, current MLS clubs, there's not a lot of teams. And I've not heard this much from other fans of being like, I just love the way the Red Bulls play. I just love.
No, I mean, if they were back in the old style of playing where it was like the heavy counter, the heavy press and trying to get you to you know, cough the ball up in your own half and score on you. But this was just a, you're not going to get past us. We're going to go 5-5-0 here and see what happens. But yeah, I guess give credit to Tolkien with the...
Tolkien sent in a great ball.
That was Andres, a beautiful cross.
Reyes gets on the end of it to score. And again, Carlos Coronel is just having... The stretch of games of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He is playing spectacular, always getting to where he needs to be. The Nilis brothers are also playing really, really well. This is a look. I'm I get it. Everybody, we're NYCFC fans and blah blah blah.
I mean, we could talk about them. you know, we could talk about them in an unbiased way. It's going to look like we're being mean, but this isn't necessarily the style of football anybody wants to watch.
It's not the most attractive. And I would say that even a lot of Rebels fans would probably say the same thing. What happened this season? The not good enough signs in you know, in the South Ward or
I'm
whatever.
I'm not saying anything I haven't heard friends of mine that are Rebel fans say.
Right.
So I'm not speaking out of turn here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly we would have preferred if New York City FC would have won the game. But Rebels are in the final. They deserve to be on there based on the system that's set up in this
of
league.
Of course.
And they're going to frustrate the hell out of LA Galaxy. Who can pick them apart? Who can send in that one through pass that breaks that defense? It's not going to be Pooj.
Yeah.
We know that now.
we know that. We'll get to that in a second. And Orlando... that had a very good season, a disappointing result.
Yeah.
Carter's upset.
He's smashing the table, bro. Don't get him started, dude. Big Orlando guy.
This is again. It was just it's a little bit of a, given the season that they had, they have to feel like 100%. Like, we missed a real big opportunity to play in the MLS Cup final.
In fact, there was a shot of Oscar Pareja, their coach, sort of on the sideline, kind of like smiling in a "what the hell is going on" kind of way.
Yeah.
It wasn't a "I'm having a good time" smile. It was like, "Oh no!" and you could see in his mind he was thinking, "This can't be the way this season ends."
Yeah,
because they were one of the better teams in the East throughout, and then when they got to the playoffs, you think if you can get rid of teams like Miami and you
especially
can get rid of
home,
teams like Columbus.
At home.
This was the next best team, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
There is, look, when the
did you see the video of the kid crying? The kid with like the spiked hair and like the bandana on?
Yeah.
Damn.
And it's just like
the kid was dressed like Breck Shea was his dad. You know?
Throughout these playoffs, it's been if the Red Bulls score first, that's it. They're locking it up.
Yeah.
we ain't trying to have a fun game of footy anymore.
And they're all pretty well versed in like dark arts. They know how to get under your skin.
Yeah, yeah.
They know how to cause some issues. I think there was like 15 to like 8 were the fouls. Like, the Rebels were playing that game of like, we're going to frustrate the hell out of you and hope that we bend but don't break.
Yeah, and given the players, I think it's the quote from, was it Bruce Arena? I think the one that said that, like, basically to win in MLS, like your DPs have to play well. Like in the playoffs, your best players have to be good.
Yeah.
And Red Bull finds ways to kind of neutralize that, and you saw that with Orlando, like Facundo Torres. There was one or two really good chances,
yeah,
and Coronel stops them. But outside of that, they're defensively, they're not really putting themselves in positions to like need Coronel to make like unbelievable saves to kind of sort of stay in games. And the NYCFC game was probably the one stretch that was like, oh wow, the Coronel.
Yeah, but if Alonso Martinez is actually wearing his shooting boots, New York City FC is playing this game instead of Red Bull.
Corona can only make the saves that are...
But what I'm saying is he got past the defense, right?
Yes.
So this is also... They're playing with house money, Red Bulls, probably since the first round at this point.
Right.
Same as New York City would have been.
But to beat Columbus... and NYCFC and Orlando
you've ran the gamut.
It's quite wild, for them to get to.
So
this,
I'm sure they're walking in with no fear of LA Galaxy. Like I said, they're playing with house money. Like, sure. Look at the gauntlet we just had to run through to get here. Like, we're good,
right?
But if you look at Orlando, especially towards the end of the match, there was like no plan. There was no rhyme or reason. It was just a bunch of players passing to someone, hoping someone got a good shot off. And that plays into the way Red Bull wants to play. They want you to play with a little bit of mayhem.
Yeah.
They want you to be like, everybody's sort of trying to be individual heroes, and they fell right into that trap. So shouts to Sandro Schwartz and the job he's done getting Emil Forsberg. You know what I mean? To one, not leave his family. Two, getting him to stay and play well, and also finding a way to get the team to solidify after a really bad end to the season and play well going into the playoffs. At the end of the day, you're like, that's all this league asks you to do.
It's working out. So we'll see how it goes in MLS Cup. Let's talk about the other the Western Conference final. LA Galaxy win 1-0after a goal from
Jovalich, towards the end of the match. You had Ricky Pouge playing. You saw him at the end of the match. Everyone felt like, wow, he's
emotional.
Yeah, he's really emotional about getting an MLS Cup. Finally, look at him. He's like, he's got a towel over his head. He's hugging the coach.
It's like, oh, the one elusive trophy.
Yeah. This kid really cares. No. But what it turns out was for half an hour, he's playing with a ruptured ACL.
Yeah, this is...
Was it ruptured or torn?
Torn, yeah. I mean, they both kind of mean the same thing. But, just an insane scenario, right? Like, you would imagine you tear your ACL... Nobody gonna be mad at you if you take the day off. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we understand.
Injuries happen.
Injuries happen. A sick day.
So
you saw the injury. It's interesting because there was a little bit of controversy here too, because there was a foul in the 61st minute. Christian Roldan fouls Ricky Pouge pretty hard, and he falls to the ground, but he gets back up. And then there's in the 63rd minute, there is Ricky Pouge is trying to win the ball from De La Vega, from Pedro De La Vega. And he kind of bumps into, I don't know if it's a bump or
the way you said that was like, Rolanda Vega.
Yolanda Vega.
Yolanda Vega, that's what it was. I was trying to remember her first name.
But he
shouts to anyone who knows that reference.
So he tries to cut across De La Vega and takes a weird step. And you see he starts limping afterwards. But Christian Roldan on the tweet from MLS or either MLS or LA Galaxy, he commented on it saying to anyone, hopefully he heals quickly and stuff like that. But to anyone, all the haters or something that are saying that I was the one who injured him, he's like, he got injured in the 63rd minute and it was a non-contact injury. And I fouled him in the 61st minute. But it's a little bit of like, Christian Roldan, why are you talking about this right now? Like, and then the other thing that's a little weird is that the Roldan brothers, there's a third brother who is
Alex Christian, and who's,
I don't know his name, if we can get it.
Ezekiel?
He is the head of the medical staff at the LA Galaxy.
Ooh.
So there's a little bit of like, were you talking to your brother about this? Like, why are you?
Does that matter, though?
It doesn't really matter, per se, because I don't think Christian Roldan is the reason he got injured. Or at the very least, he didn't injure him. And
right.
He's not.
What's his name?
Cesar Jr.
Cesar Roldan.
Bro, the whole family finding jobs in MLS. It's crazy, bro.
But it is a... I just say this to... I point it out just to say this, that Christian Roldan does not need to defend himself here. We all understand it's part of the game. Injuries happen. Nobody is assuming that he was even trying to injure anybody intentionally or whatever. So it's just, it causes more trouble than you need by defending yourself here, because there was nothing nefarious to even really comment on. So
can I ask you a question? Okay.
Go for it. This is your show too, so go.
Okay. I'm trying to do it, but there's no audio. I'm trying to press the button. Is this the worst case scenario for Apple TV Plus? This MLS Cup final?
Worst case scenario? No.
Think about it.
I mean, it's not
Stop
great.
It. Ricky Pooch, probably the biggest name, not going to be there. I guess Marco Royce is there, but he ain't done nothing since he's been there. New York Rebels don't really have stars. Emil Forsberg is like not a, I need to sign up for the subscription to see Emil Forsberg, right? Neither is Pantsil or Peck, even though all three of them are having great years.
How much of an impact is Pooch making either when it comes to marketing and interest?
I mean, like, probably the biggest name out of all the ones I mentioned. Out of the ones I mentioned, is he not the biggest name?
He is, but us MLS sickos are going to watch it, whoever plays. It's not really going
to. Carter's like, why are you pointing at me, dog?
Okay. I would say this is their. The best case scenario out of the four teams, right? Like, you'd rather this than Orlando, Seattle.
Wait, why?
Just because of like two big markets.
The markets,
the two biggest markets.
Yeah, I could see. From a marketing perspective, you can understand.
Does that matter still if it's an OTT?
But it's not it's going to be on. It's on Fox as well.
It's going to be on Fox as well.
Yeah,
sure.
I think as far as like
maybe you get LAFC fans watching and hoping the Red Bulls win, and maybe you get New York City FC fans watching and hoping LA Galaxy win, and that draws in the whole.
Maybe.
Whatever the potential is for soccer in both those
markets.
More
than anything, Messi not being there is the problem for Apple.
Which was the point I was getting.
So that is really, any others?
You think they make Messi show up?
Just stand there
with his mate.
That'd be great, you know, just a little cameo.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is a, but look. But credit to LA Galaxy here and Ricky Pooch, because the not only did he play for 30 minutes on a torn ACL, but delivers the game-winning
assist
to Jovalich.
A beautiful layoff.
So it makes me think of two things. It's
you're
like,
saying gut it out for MLS Cup final?
No. It's like, Ricky, you did the 30. You can't
do
another 90.
Get on ice until the game.
Take a little Tylenol extra strength and get out there. No, it makes me think of two things. I mean, the warrior that Ricky Pooch is.
Yeah.
I mean, and people still
which I did not think he had it in him.
When, you know, people still comment on the clip. We had a viral clip talking about Ricky Pooch because when he first got to the league, and his first, like, I don't know, it was like 10 or 12 games, he had like one assist and no goals, and you had said maybe this is your level, maybe MLS is your level, and he's clearly proven us included.
At that time, though, I think
time,
I was right.
At the time, he was not very good.
Yeah,
and he
also
has,
soccer fans outside of this country are just not good with sarcasm.
No, not at all.
They just don't get it. Bro.
You can't joke around like that. But so first of all, I was thinking like. Unbelievable. A warrior to be able to do this, to play on a torn ACL for 30 minutes and be the reason your team won. And then the other thing I was thinking, what does it say about Major League Soccer that he could play for 30 minutes on a torn ACL and still deliver the game-winning assist?
Bro, defending needs to be ratcheted up
you
a little bit.
I mean, beat me. You could beat me with both knees functioning.
Yeah,
you can't beat me with a torn ACL. The Sounders players have to be like, yo, he cooked us on a torn ACL. And it wasn't like he was just standing around, kind of waiting to receive the ball. Ricky Pooch, his heat map is goddamn every single corner of the pitch.
Well, I think that's what stopped him from really feeling the injuries. He kept it warm. He didn't stop running until the end of the game. That's when he was like, ah!
The adrenaline was incredible. So, yeah, unbelievable performance from him throughout the entire game. I mean, like, and, you know, Seattle... You know, Stephen Fry made a couple really great saves as well, but not buckling under that pressure with the Sounders team that will frustrate you, and they frustrated LAFC and they couldn't figure it out, and they waited them out long enough, and you know, Jordan Morris gets the winner against LAFC, and they just couldn't do that against the Galaxy. So yes, MLS Cup final this Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Galaxy against the Rebels are two OG teams. Up the Galaxy. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I'm part of the riot
big,
for this
big
weekend.
Fans since day one. I've always been. Yeah. I don't know about you.
I've been saying like LAFC who?
But what do you think? What do you think? Because look, obviously NYCFC fans are talking about this a lot because you know a lot of people don't want to see NYCFC fans don't want to see even. Union fans, even DC United fans, probably.
Right.
It's been what?
31 years?
No. Oh, that they've said.
Right? Isn't it 31 or 29 years?
No. That they've, since MLS started?
1996.
Yes. So what? We're at
30.
We're at
29 years.
What year is it?
2004. 24. Well, I'm getting close. Did I suffer a head injury? Find out on the next episode.
But the last time they were in MLS Cup was in 2008.
Yeah.
But there's been, even as we've been doing our show, Red Bulls have just constantly been sort of underachieving when it came to the playoffs. They've obviously won three supporter shields. But what do you think it means for just New York and the rivalry for Red Bulls to also possibly have an MLS Cup? What does it do for the rivalry? Because I'm not necessarily a person that's like, we got a cup and you don't. I'm not necessarily the person sort of mocking that. But there's something that NYCFC will always be able to hold over that, I don't know, feels kind of nice to some degree. So how does it change the balance of that rivalry?
I mean, it does. It evens it out. I mean, some would say they're ahead because they also have supporter shields, right? Which I know we don't, as a general, we don't really value them the same way we would an MLS Cup trophy.
Yeah.
But when you mix both of them together, you know what I mean? That certainly stands out. But I don't know. Does it renew the rivalry a little bit? I'm not necessarily sure. I think the rivalry is in a really good place.
Okay.
You know, I think it's balanced that a little bit more. And I'm a fan of both teams being at their most powerful, right? Because I think it makes the rivalry better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's evened out a little bit. When in the early years, it was like, all right, the Hudson River Derby, so to speak, trophy would go much more to Red Bulls in the beginning than it ever went to New York City FC.
Yeah.
And there's obviously some really big losses in there. But for New York Red Bull fans, for, you know, who've been suffering for a very long time, you know, they got a couple supporter shields, but they never won that cup, that cup that eludes them. This would be huge for them. What would it be for New York City FC fans? Yeah, it might get rid of one of the things you could say about them.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I think eventually they're going to win, and so New York City will win another one, right? Mm-hmm. Eventually those things will happen, especially in the league with so much parity. So I don't think it changes too much.
Okay.
Maybe some of the chants are a little different, you know?
I do think, you know, not having Ricky Pouge play in the MLS Cup final, you know, definitely the Rebels fans are perking their ears up a little bit.
What did you say? Bruce Arena said that in order for you to win MLS Cup, you have to do what?
Yeah, essentially your best players have to play as best as possible.
Okay, I think Marco Royce is as good, if not better, a player than Ricky Pouge is, right? Because Marco Royce has been around for a much longer time.
Oh, I completely disagree with that statement.
I think he needs to show it.
Okay.
I think he needs to show it. What was Marco Royce doing June 1st this year? Do you know?
Champions League final.
He was playing in the Champions League final. So, 18 minutes, right? But right, still. Right.
Yeah, I don't know how much. He has to show up and he has to be. Look, Ricky Pouge is his ability to not just control games, but he wants the ball.
Yeah.
And he
wants to be the conductor.
Yeah, and Galaxy are going to need somebody to step in that role a little bit. And whether
even if you just counter with Pansa, which looked good before they figured out what to do with Jovalich and Peck and everyone.
I do think, I think if Red Bulls score first, I don't think Galaxy can win this game. But and Ricky Pouge being injured, you know the emotion behind that, the inspiration that it's going to give to the other Galaxy players, I think is going to be tremendous. So that is something also that the Rebels have to compete with, even though Ricky Pouge...
And it's going to be in LA. It's going to be on the road, which I know they don't really have a problem playing on the road, but an MLS Cup final in LA, the team that's won it more than anyone else,
it's going to
be interesting.
It's going to be interesting for sure.
It certainly makes me want to watch the game more.
Okay. Look, what a commercial.
LA versus Orlando, probably not the most salacious game. LA versus New York. This is a little
there's a little bit of
something there.
You know, let's see. I don't know if it's a Biggie and Tupac TiVos.
Oh wow. Damn.
Bring up that beef.
Damn.
Okay.
remind everyone of those good times.
Who painted this Diddy TiVo? We don't need this.
Jesus. What do you mean it just showed up on its own without permission?
MLS Cup this weekend, it's gonna be crazy. So so tune in. I'll have all reactions for you on Monday of next week. But let's take a quick break and we'll do some rapid reactions with a bunch of other stories in footy all around the world.
Hey, we're back on Acooligans, and now it's time for the most Latino part of our show.
Mm.
Rápido reactions.
Hello, okay, say it. Just you got to Latinify it.
I mean, you put the rápido in front. I can't just go rápido reactions.
So, yes, Carter, our producer Carter, will read off a couple stories, and we have 90 seconds to respond to each one.
All right, your first one, the women's national team and England played a 0-0 draw.
Yes.
Bro, the snooze fest.
Somebody hit the snooze button at Wembley.
Snooze classico, bro.
No, so not the most entertaining of matches.
This was a rough one. This was the most Vlatko-esque match I've ever seen under Emma Hayes.
But it was nice to see effectively a sold out Wembley for this game. It was a big deal.
Women's soccer,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, you love to see the support there. The Mary Earps goalkeeper for England had a great game. That's not too much excitement here. There was a lot of conversations before the game of what national anthem Emma Hayes is going to sing. You know, where you going to side? She was like, I'll probably sing both.
Ooh.
All right.
Listen to that. Tuchel, whatever. That's how you handle that question.
And then towards the end of the game, there was a little drama there between Chloe Kelly and Casey Kruger. There was a bad foul.
Kelly tried to dust her a little bit.
Yeah, she gave her a strong hip check.
Oh, we clap back where I'm from.
And then later in the game, a couple seconds later, Casey Kruger says, like, yo, if my time arrives to get back at you, and she put in a shoulder,
bro,
to Chloe Kelly. She did wallop. Not see coming. And
she walloped shorty, bro.
So don't mess with the Krugs like that.
By the way, Emma Hayes, this is how much she loves being both English and American. She saw an Irish person eating potato, ripped it out of his hand, but then handed him Doritos. You see what I'm saying? She's both.
I guess she does lean politically in some situations.
Next year, Toronto FC part ways with John Herdman. Your thoughts?
Okay.
Damn.
They part ways, but it was
shouldn't drone on this subject too much. You know what I mean?
He resigned.
Yeah, he resigned.
Out of look. Oh, there seemed to be a lot of distractions.
This wasn't really my vibe, you know what I mean?
I'm not even about the six like that.
Nah. You know?
No. So, John Herdman, who not only the drone scandal that he's still sort of dealing with.
Oh, he's guilty. I mean, if
you quit now, we all know.
At least that's what I'm thinking.
You don't. An innocent person doesn't quit the job that they have.
Nah.
So, clearly, it was becoming a big issue. Who was the women's coach?
Oh, God, I forget her name.
She got fired.
Yeah.
And Herdman is the man who started the whole damn drone program.
Taught her everything she knows, so, bro.
You would think he would have to deal with some of those consequences. But no, I think this is going to be obviously a better scenario. Even before the whole drone issue, we had the accusation about Nick Cushing that he punched a Toronto player with no evidence and no proof.
Yeah, and he was like, well, he looked like it. So
clearly this dude, I don't even know, he doesn't feel like the most trustworthy of people,
right?
Because a lot of this stuff is circling him, if you know what I mean.
Just above his head. Insigne, Bernadeschi, both I think the wrong moves in general.
Bernadeschi, I believe, is gone.
Team didn't even make the playoffs, bro. This whole thing,
it's terrible. So clearly this is going to be
Caleb Porter, it's not working in England. You go there, and then New England can bring somebody else in.
Really? Okay, interesting.
Feels like Caleb Porter is the one guy that could fix
it's
it.
Just weird. It's not like Toronto doesn't spend money, and this is these
they're spending
the
money on the wrong thing.
Clearly. All right, what's next?
Vapes.
What's your thoughts, your reaction to the Americans at PSV mounting a huge comeback in the Champions League midweek?
Look at this. You gotta hit that one too, bro.
Bro, where would PSV be without Americans, bro?
Malik Tillman and Ricardo Pepi getting all the goals in the Champions League match. This was, I mean, not only was were the goals great, but I mean the every goal. Tillman's the first goal was great. It was very clever, and then the absolute rocket.
The Fuakata
was he went full Fuakata.
Yeah,
and then Ricardo Pepi just like we said. Even when he plays for the U.S., seemingly knows where to be.
He's so goal dangerous.
Goal dangerous. So more than anything, I just think it's the I don't know. It's just like the confidence that they bring to themselves, that they bring to the team.
Ricardo Pepi is in the Golden Boot. He's a leader in the Golden Boot, or tied with someone else for Golden Boot in the Eredivisie right now.
Yeah,
so, and he's only started 4 matches, and he's the backup.
They're looking, especially in Champions League, they're looking reliable. That's kind of the thing that's exciting. Imagine if Dest was not, you know, not
if he
injured.
Was healthy, bro.
Bro, they'd be thriving out there. So no, it's just a great moment. I think especially for Ricardo Pepi to get that goal. Malik Tillman, I don't think he's really breaking into the midfield as a starter anytime soon.
I think he's proven that he should get a shout. I don't know if he makes the first 11.
I don't think so.
But hey, Pochettino's different.
Yeah,
we're still thinking a little Triple G here. Pochettino will start whoever's in form.
I'm definitely happy for Pepi. I think that was an incredible moment for him.
Next year, the Premier League announced that they are bringing their production in-house. Does this mean we're going to get a streaming service? And is that the right move for the Premier League?
Ooh, this is a tough one.
So this is something
they're going to go Apple TV Plus kind of setup.
Yeah, that's kind of like where it could possibly lead to. The Premier League in itself, and a lot of leagues, sort of the landscape of working with broadcasters or working with production companies to produce the content that you want to deliver. But just like we all now have cameras on our phones and we all take on we're
you're saying we could do it for them.
I'm just saying, but that we're all semi-delusional and being like, I got a camera right here. Why don't I just make a Titanic? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying the Premier League is delusional.
Your wife to let you buy a boat to sink it might be hard. But here's what I like about this. You and I travel a lot. You know, when I'm in England and I can't watch the Premier League because my app says I'm out of the gym, I'm in the country where the thing is happening.
Let me
watch it, bro. That's the one thing I love about Apple TV Plus with MLS. You can watch it, it doesn't matter where you are. There's no geo-blocking anymore. So if you do get to an over-the-top network where they own it and you just go to the Premier League and buy the rights to watch it, now people in England can watch 3 o'clock games.
But then are we going to have the same people that are going to be like, hey, but you're going to put it behind a paywall and blah, blah, blah. And how are you going to watch the game?
You know the Brits. They'll protest if it's not 99 pence. You know what I mean?
This is a...
me granddaddy. It needs to be the same rate me granddaddy paid.
The Premier League itself is such a... I mean, it's a drug. The product is everybody wants it.
Yeah, man. Everybody wants a hit, bro.
Cut it up.
You need to step on that.
What's that? What do we got next?
The field for the Club World Cup here in America is set. Your thoughts?
Bro, this is a competition everyone's excited about. Okay. Right, Rodri?
Especially the sponsors that have not invested anything.
The what sponsors? they'll get there.
They're selling. Infantino's working
overtime.
They're
dropping big money too, right? The winner gets a lot of money.
Trying to sell this thing. But now, obviously, Botafogo? Got the final spot, winning the Copa Libertadores.
Saving Lyon.
saving Lyon. They need all the money they can get.
Just the text.
But did you see, I don't know if you saw that game, Gregor
and Severino.
And Thiago Almada is there. But Gregor got a red card 35 seconds into the game from a high boot that he caught the dude in the face.
Yeah.
And red immediately, and they still won.
They still won.
And that's how they got the last spot in the Club
World
Cup.
And they collapsed last year. Remember, they were in first, and slowly, Palmeiras. So shouts to them, but I don't know if I'm really that excited for this competition until I see it, because there's so many people that believe it's just not even going to happen.
I mean, I don't think that, but I mean,
no, there are a lot of people that really believe
it's going to happen. They're going to make it happen. The only thing here now is
Al Nassr not in it? Wasn't that the whole thing?
Messi versus
Ronaldo? Where? They're not here.
They have to be there.
They're not in this.
Isn't this Al Nassr?
No, it literally says Alain FC.
No, the first one here.
Al Nassr is like
Ronaldo's
the
in this.
He's not, bro. It's the golden with Saudi Arabia country carved out of it. They're not even in this.
No, you're wrong. Please.
Bro, I'm being dead.
Let's confirm. This is
at every logo. It's in front of your face.
There must be something. Isn't this one?
That's
Neymar's. That's Neymar's team. Whatever. But more than anything, Inter Miami also being included in this now feels, as the MLS playoffs have continued, it feels goofier and goofier that they are included. Especially, we're going to have a winner to either Rebels or LA Galaxy. And it just feels Inter Miami probably should not be the team in there from MLS.
Who's going to FC Salzburg versus Al Ain?
Okay.
Ain't nobody going to that.
We got to see the groups first, Alexis. It should be entertaining. All right.
A lot of doubleheaders.
Thank you again. Another Rapido reaction in the books. Thank you, everybody. And shout out to everybody for tuning in. As always, we appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe. Shout out to everybody who also watched the watch along.
The thumbnail for that was really dope, by the way.
Yeah. Shout out to Good Vibes John and Jimmy. They came to the studio, and I got to watch Everton be absolutely humiliated,
fully demolished,
4-0 by Manchester United. But it's about the friends you make along the way.
It's the fun you have.
So shout out to Good Vibes.
It's not about
John,
the results, about the journey.
And Jimmy for coming through yesterday to watch that game. Go give them a follow. Subscribe to their YouTube channel. Jimmy and Good Vibes John, they do incredible work. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at Soccer Cooligans on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you'd like to do that as well. And follow us on Blue Sky. At soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky. We're posting a lot more on there. Like I said, there's less bots, less psychos, and less Elon. That's really the kind of the, probably the best part. Follow us on there. All right, we'll be back on Thursday. A lot of midweek Premier League games.
Yeah.
So we'll be reacting to
a
lot of that.
To talk about.
And we have a guest on Thursday as well, I believe. So I forgot who it is now, but you'll see it on Thursday.
Yeah, you know what? Click on it when you see it on Thursday.
All right. We'll see you Thursday, everybody. Take care. Peace.
Love you guys.